Take your Bibles, turn tonight. We're gonna get into the Word this evening. And like I said, we will pray over the needs as we close out service tonight. But take your Bibles. Go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the very last chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 13. It's where we are going to be studying tonight together. And looking forward to just a study in the Word. How many know that we need to study the Word? Amen. It's great to preach messages, and messages are all around the Word and are important, but there is a difference in a message that is preached and then just studying through His Word, and that's just as necessary. And so we're going to be looking at the Word tonight in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and I just love to just relax a little bit on a Wednesday night and study the Word with you. And so I hope that you've come ready to do that. Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to be walking through portions of this chapter as we go along. But let me just read one verse for you that just sums everything up, really, in life in general, as well as the study we're going to be looking into tonight. And just a summary scripture in Hebrews 13 and verse number 8. Hebrews 13 and verse number 8, very familiar passage of Scripture for many of you, I'm sure. Just one verse, and it simply says, Jesus Christ is the same. Turn to someone next to you and say, the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He is the same. There is a foundational truth in that verse. There is a truth in that verse that if we will understand that truth, that everything in our life of faith is built upon that verse. We have Scripture tells us that the Father says, I am God and I change not. Okay? Here we see the foundational verse, or one of the foundational verses in Christianity and in following Christ and understanding who He is and putting faith in Christ. And that is, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. His Word does not change. What He said is still good. Now, we need to hear that today. And I'm going to be sharing some things with you, and we'll probably get into that a little bit more as we go along. But of all days, our day needs to hear that. Every day needs to hear that. But our day needs to hear that. He is the same. His Word is the same Word. It's the same Word that it was as it was inspired by the Holy Spirit and written. It is the same Word that Jesus spoke. When we are reading the words that He spoke, it carries the same meaning. It is the same Word. The Word will remain forever. Heaven and earth may pass away, but My Word will remain forever. Okay? So we need to understand that. There's a lot of things, but there are a couple of things tonight that are not up for debate, and they are not up for opinions. And that is who Christ is and what His Word says. There's no debate about that. Right. Now, there may be debate about concepts, and there may be things that we can look at and we can disagree on how the structure or what exact meaning in our life today would look like and things like that. But His Word is the same because He is the same. And we need to understand that. There's no changing. We live in a world today that seems to want to change Christ and His Word to fit our culture. And you never change Christ and His Word to fit your culture. That's not how it works. In fact, that totally takes away from the Scripture that I just read to you. When we try to make Christ and His Word fit into our culture, we have totally, diametrically opposed Hebrews 13 and 8. Because He said, He does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we need to understand that concept above all others. It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. It doesn't matter if everyone around you thinks differently. Christ is who he said, and his word is still the same. You can hang your life on that. In fact, if you do not hang your life on that, you will be drifted away and swept away and moved away by every new fad, every bit. And I'm talking in the church world. I'm not just talking in the world. I'm not talking to people that are without Christ. I'm talking to the church. If you are not hanging your life on who Christ is and what his word says, you will be swept away by every newest fad that comes along, every change of doctrine that comes up, every time a voice gets popular in the culture and everyone wants to flock to that voice. If that voice is not proclaiming God's word and who Christ is as he is, then you're going to get swept away into something that is not what God has designed for you. Okay, so we've got to establish that, and we've got to understand that. We have been given a pace by God, and we're living under the pace, the vision of the pace, to proclaim, to accept, to connect, and to be empowered by the Spirit. But we have been given a pace that we are to live life at, and that is the pace of Christ. We base our life is found only in him. So therefore, our life must be based upon his word. If we are followers of Christ, we do not apply him to our life. Amen. There's a lot of that goes on in the church world today, where we just want to take Christ and we just want to apply him kind of like a Band-Aid or a patch to our life. We want to take the things that we want to take and the things that we like, and we want to apply those to our life. But that's not what Christianity has ever been about. It has never been, Christ following has never been about learning how to apply Christ to your life. That's never had any part in Christianity. Amen. What Christianity is you dying to yourself and living through Christ. That's what makes us different. That's what makes Christianity, following Christ, different than any other religion that would be in our world today, is because we are not taking something and applying it to our life. We are dying to our life so that we can live to his. Okay? He is the same. He does not change. He Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he gives us some keys to live. He gives us, in the book of Hebrews here, the writer of Hebrews, and for any of you that are deep studiers of the word and the history of the word and the canon and things like that, you will recognize the book of Hebrews. While most attribute the book of Hebrews to Paul, it's up for debate who wrote the book of Hebrews. The earliest manuscripts don't really seem to say. It was accepted that it was Paul for a long time, and then there are some that would say it was Barnabas that wrote, and some would say Apollos wrote, and others would say Priscilla wrote, and even others have said Luke wrote the book of Hebrews. Whoever you think, we could debate about that. I believe when you read the book of Hebrews, you read the words of Paul. But that's neither here nor there. I just see so many similarities there that it's hard for me to get beyond that aspect. But there's life lessons in this chapter, and it's amazing as you walk down this chapter, the life lessons that come when we understand that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The life lessons that we read in this scripture, that verse 8 is the hinge that everything turns on in this chapter. When we read this, we begin to realize the things he tells us in this chapter do not change, because Christ does not change. So let's just get into this for just a little bit tonight. He starts right off, and he starts right off strong. Starts chapter 13 strong. Now, we understand it wasn't written chapter and verse, but where the break off is, and it's designated as chapter 13 and verse number 1 in our Bibles, starts strong. He says, let brotherly love continue. We're going to talk about living. We're going to walk through this chapter and talk about the life principles of the Christ who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There are life principles that he taught, that he teaches, and that will always ring true. And these are the principles that our life is to be based upon, that our walk is to be found in. Okay, and he starts right off. The very first one that we're going to look at tonight is to let brotherly love continue. It's the word phileo. It's the word there. It's the word for love, the Greek word for love that means brotherly love. Okay, there's several Greek words for love. I'm not going to take the time. I'll get sidetracked if I get into that. But this is brotherly love. God love is agape. Okay, that love between a husband and his wife, and that passionate love is eros. And there's four different words for love, but this is phileo. This is that brotherly love. This is that love between friends. This is that love that causes us to treat one another right. It's the word that refers to the need of sharing life together. See, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And therefore, if that's true, then our lives must be based now. Our lives in Christ are based and founded in this type of love for one another. We need one another. If we're going to live the life Christ has for us, we need each other in order to do that. And we need to treat one another with respect and with honor and with love. Okay, that's a great lesson for us to learn. In the day that we live in, where me is more important than we. Okay? Where I matter more than anybody else to me, that is opposite of what the Word teaches us as Christ followers. The Word teaches us that we are to live our life filled with brotherly love. That means we are to care for others. We are to understand that need. The lawyer, remember when they came to Jesus and they were challenging Jesus? And they said, what's the greatest commandment? You remember that? What did Jesus say to them? He said to them, I'll sum all of the commandments up in two. He said, here they are. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all that's in you, with all your soul, with all of your mind. You love God. You can look it up if you want. It's Matthew 22, verses 35 through 40. You love God. And then the second is like it. You love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. You love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all of the laws and prophets. Okay, on these two, love your neighbor. Have that love for one another. Have that care and concern for one another. Don't ever lose that. Don't ever walk away from that. Don't give in to the attack of the enemy in our world today that causes you to believe your wants, your desires, your person, your issues are more important than anyone else. Because that flies in the face of Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are to build our life on the concept of brotherly love. We are to care for one another. We are to help one another. We are to give to one another. Let me say this to you. For a Christ follower, love is the greatest weapon that we have. Love is the greatest weapon that we have as Christ followers. Amen. How many of you understand love is a weapon? Jesus said, use it as a weapon. He said, love your enemies. Amen. I mean, if you got an enemy, you better hope you have a weapon of some sort. Whatever that enemy looks like, you need a weapon to defeat. Well, Jesus gives you the weapon for every enemy. He said, love your enemies. Yeah, by so doing, that's what he tells them. You heap those coals of fire upon their head. You love your enemies. So don't just, you love people. You give for people. You are concerned about others. So right off the bat, we catch the understanding that if brotherly love is important, then we cannot check out because we don't like our culture. We can't check out because we don't like the mindset of the people we live with. Amen. We can't just run off into a corner somewhere and hide our eyes and just ignore the world because we don't agree with it. We are to love one another. We are to engage. We are to be a part of. We are to what? We are in the world. We're just not of the world. We function in the world. We just don't belong here. Come on, someone. So brotherly love. Let brotherly love continue. Notice the wording there. Let brotherly love continue. No end. Does that sound familiar? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let brotherly love continue. Why? Because we're Christ followers. And so you need to be engaged in the world around you. So we must understand that. We must exhibit Christ principles in our life. And the greatest principle Christ exhibited as he walked on this earth and has always exhibited ever since time would begin is love. In fact, the Father is known, the Word tells us God is love. Amen? Also, they will know if our love is real by the love we show to one another, the Word tells us. So let brotherly love continue. It's a weapon that we operate with. So when the world is at odds against following Christ, the church must continue to love. That's a word. That's a word that's packed with difficulty, packed with questions, packed with hard choices, hard decisions. Because how many, when I say that, when the world is at odds with everything to do with faith in Christianity, which it is, we are still called to love. How many, when I say that, immediately the question is, how can I do that? See, we're not real good at doing that. We want to fight. But rather, we need to show brotherly love. And I can already hear those of you that use... You use the statement. I can already hear it coming out of your minds. Just ready. You know, you don't even have to say it. I can just see it on some of your face. Well, I'm going to speak the truth to them in love. Yeah. And you don't no more mean that than a man on the moon. Because love ain't got nothing to do with what you're wanting to say. Come on now. Well, there's that tough love. You know, the churches, we're really good at tough love. You ever know? Giving it, not taking it, giving it. Yeah, we're that's what we want to give the world. I love the world. I just want to give them some tough love. Right? That's what they need. Well, you need to love like Christ loved. You must speak the truth in love, with love, seasoned with love, full of love. Amen. We must do that, but our mindset has to be right. So our standard in this life with Christ and the pace that we live life at, our standard is love. That's the banner we march under. His banner over us. It needs to be love. Look with me now. He said there, verse 1 and verse 2, do not forget to entertain strangers. For by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. We have scriptures that back that up. People that they talked with individuals that turned out to be angels. We've heard stories about that, testimonies about that. But the important thing is it's tied to this concept of brotherly love. Do not forget to do good to strangers. Do not forget to entertain them, to help them, to make room for them. For by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. You never know when it might just be the Lord showing up. I think I remember in Scripture in Matthew chapter 25, and I might get ahead of myself, but that's all right. But I think I remember in Matthew 25, Jesus teaching and talking, and he's got them lined up, and he's got them ready to go to judgment. And he said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was in need, you helped me. And they said, Lord, when did we do these things for you? When you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Amen? So we need to be, hear me now. I'm not getting into the debates. So don't, if that's where you go with this, you're barking up the wrong tree. I'm not going to get into that. But here's what I do want you to hear. We are to help those that are in need. And that is more important than what we perceive as our need. Amen. Now you got to deal with it. You got to work that out in your mind of what that's going to look like. But this is what the word says. Do not forget to entertain strangers. People that are not among you. People that are not of yours. People that are not like you. People you're not comfortable with. Right? Don't forget to entertain. By that word, it doesn't mean, you know, do something to catch their attention. Yeah, that's not what he's saying. To entertain means in that day that you would bring them in and you would love them and care for them and help them and see what you could do to assist them and to lift them up. And let me tell you, church, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he was always about helping those that were in need. And we need to take that bitter pill sometimes. Because we get so focused on our situations and our issues in our world that we forget to see what Scripture says. And we start proclaiming what we want and what we think is right. And we fail to look at Scripture. That's exactly right. And so that means when I see someone in need, I'm to be a brother to them. And I am to entertain and to help. Amen. I'm not to try to figure out if they deserve it or not. How many know if it's a stranger, you don't know if they deserve it or not? Come on now. I never will, you know, and I'm sure you have as well. You drive it, pull up to a corner somewhere, and there's somebody standing out there. And sometimes they might genuinely be in need. And sometimes they might be driving a better car and living in a nicer house than you are. But they've got a sign that says, "Will you help me?" And they're a stranger. You don't know them. So then the dilemma, I don't know if it hits you or not, but the dilemma sometimes will come on me. Well, should I give that person something? If I do that, what are they going to do with it? And you know, I mean, just the dilemma, because I don't know if they're worthy or not. I have to then make a judgment call if they deserve help or not. Come on now. Yeah, you better listen to the Spirit in those moments. But what I'm trying to say is, and what I want you to hear is even we're not talking about helping strangers because they deserve it. Because you don't know a stranger well enough to know if they deserve it. We go to the concept of brotherly love and we help when we see needs. Amen? We help when we see needs, when we find issues, when we see situations. We've got a couple sitting right here that for years, decades, they reached out to individuals, homeless individuals and people of need in inner city in Oklahoma City for many of those years and times and pastored them and loved on them. And you come to find out if they're real or not real or genuine or not genuine. But that's right. But when they show up and you don't know them, you're there to help them. Amen. When we were serving dinners down there on Tuesday night, we didn't ask them as they came through line. Now, you know, do you really need this? Or is there someone more? No, we just served it out and handed it to them. Why? Because we were doing our part, and you never know when you might be entertaining God. You could be being tested. Hang on now. Well, God wouldn't do that. Oh, don't kid yourself. You might find out you were being tested. Were you really a Christ follower? Or were you just a Christ applier to certain parts of your life? That's what we got to wrestle with, and we have to understand that. So we need to hear that. Verse 3, then he says, remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Remember the prisoners. That's just not just talking about, well, we all need to go start a prison ministry. There's how many know there's a lot more people in prisons than just those that are incarcerated? Amen. We're in all types of prisons. We're bound up by all sorts of things. People get caught up in all sorts of things. People get addicted to all sorts of things. They get strapped into all sorts of messes. And we are not called in that moment to be their judge. We are not their judge. We are not the one that determines if the sentence is right or not. We are to remember that such were some of us. That we walk those roads, that we've been set free, and we need to remember. And how many know when you are in prison to things of this world and things of the enemy, and because of situations, you're mistreated oftentimes in that. Amen? And we need to remember that, because we're also in the Bible. We know what it feels like to be mistreated. Anyone in here know what it feels like to be mistreated? Right? We do. People use you. People mistreat you. People don't value you. Well, that's what the prisoner feels like. Those that are incarcerated and those that are in prisons of addiction and prisons of their mind and prisons of physical disability, the things that keep them from doing what they want to do, they're in prisons, and it's a mistreatment, and it's not right. And so as Christ followers, as followers of the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, our standard is to be brotherly love, that we are to be willing and ready to engage. And then our service now becomes reaching out to those that are in need and those that are mistreated. When the church is not doing these things, we cease to be a church and we start to just be a social club. Amen. That's why it's always dangerous when the church becomes real popular. Amen. Is that just too real? When the church becomes real popular, that's danger time for the church. Because we were never called to be popular in a culture. Because our way of life is different than the culture. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that has nothing to do with crowds and buildings being full or any of that. But when we begin to be more focused on being popular rather than meeting needs and helping those and walking with them and being there, that's service. So our standard is love, and our service is to reach out in two ways. And this is where the church oftentimes gets all against each other. We are to reach out in service in social ways and in spiritual ways. Amen. Some only want to do the social ways. Well, we'll feed, we'll do this, we'll help here, but let's not deal with anything spiritual. Others, all they want to do is the spiritual needs. They don't care anything about the social problem. But the word tells us, you know, if you see someone hungry and you walk up to them and you say, the Lord bless you, and someday you're going to be feasting with Jesus, and you're carrying a bucket of chicken in your arms ready to go home and eat, you're not being like Jesus. Amen. Someday around the marriage supper of the Lamb, we'll all eat together. But right now, you're going to stay hungry, and I'm going to go home and eat. You might go choke on the chicken. There you go. We need to be people of service, meeting needs that are spiritual as well as physical. Okay? So our standard is love. Our process is always service. The process of... Because that was Christ. And he's the same. He doesn't change. So if he is operating in us and through us and we are his body, then we are going to have the same process that he did. And when they came to him and they were hungry and there wasn't enough food, he asked for a sacrifice and then he multiplied it. Amen. He would help. He would help spiritually. He would help physically. So we need to get that in our mind. So that's our standard is love, and our service, the process of showing love, is service, giving out. Okay? Now, let's go to the next verse. Because now he's going to talk about an issue in culture today that gets really difficult. Because now he even gives instructions for sexuality among the believers. Because in verse 4 he says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Now hear that. Hear that real closely. Hear that last part real good. You hear a lot of messages about these things, but you don't hear a lot of times that last part that says God will judge. It's not up to us. We have the word, and we are to declare the word, but God is the judge. But I want you to understand something. I want you to see this with me, because we're hitting this in our culture today. That's why I'm bringing it up, because it's in the scripture, and because our culture today is struggling with this. The concepts and the ideas of sexuality and what is proper and what is right is being debated, not just in our world, but now hear me, I'm talking to the church. Because now the road that the world has been on forever is now the road the church is finding itself on. Because rather than understanding that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, his word is the same yesterday, day, today, and forever, and aligning life with him, we are wanting to take him and place it within the context of our current situations. And we want to take scriptures out of context in order to make people feel better about not being biblically pure. Is that too harsh? If it is, I'm sorry. Somebody needs to talk about it. It's not in a manner of judgment. It's in a manner of reality. We live in a world today where the debate is not even about biblical sexuality. Do you know that debate is not even being had? I mean, that's so far. We've blown by that so far that if our whole teaching and everything we talk about just stops with that debate, we're missing where the world is fighting right now and where the church is beginning to drift into as well. And the word is clear. I want you to notice what he says here, because this is important. He says marriage is honorable, okay? So marriage, God's concept of marriage, not man's, God's. And people say, well, what is that? Well, God has laid out his concept of marriage for us from the beginning. Amen. One man and one woman who are to come together under God, become one. The two will become one. From the very beginning, it's the way it's been laid out. Male and female, they come together in union. They are a picture of Christ and the church. Ephesians is very clear about that. It is an undying covenant, an undying commitment, that in God's plan and in God's way is supposed to remain. And we understand we live in a culture today and marriages and situations happen and all that kind of stuff. I'm just talking about what the scripture is telling us. Marriage, God's concept of marriage is honorable among all. We need this again. And that's not up for debate, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it doesn't matter what culture thinks. It doesn't matter what popular opinion is. It doesn't matter what the U.S. government says. It does not matter. What matters is what God says. When writing this, they were not concerned. The Spirit was unconcerned with what the United States government thought about marriage. The Spirit was unconcerned with what Rome thought about marriage. This is not talking about civil union. This is not talking about cultural marriage. This is talking about biblical marriage. One man, one woman come together, and in that instance and under that formula, God's plan, then the marriage bed is undefiled. But then he says, but fornicators and adulterers will be judged by God. And he uses those two words. Because adultery can only happen with a married person. Because when a married person steps outside the covenant, it's called adultery. When it's outside of a marriage covenant and there's sexual relations outside of the marriage covenant, it's fornication. Okay? So that's the two words. Adultery is within a marriage covenant and you're having the sexual relations go outside of your husband or your wife, that's adultery. When there's sexual relations going on outside of the biblical marriage covenant, that's fornication. Both of those will be judged by God. Okay? So we want to have debates and we want to fight and argue about if two women or two men or there's a, well, God is very clear about it. Anything outside, is this okay with you? Anything outside of the biblical marriage covenant that God established and that Christ affirms and that the word declares, which is the same, turn to someone and say, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And people will say, well, in the Old Testament, they had multiple wives and all stuff. Yeah, and they had nothing but problems and troubles. Because it was early on that God... Now, I'm not saying because of... I'm going to back out of that right there. For your sake, I'm going to back out of that. Because I didn't say anything, but I heard some very hearty amens. And I'm going to help you out and just back out of that. But it brought nothing but problems and heartaches because that was not God's plan. Okay? And so anything outside of that. So let me just be real clear with you. When people wanted to debate and fuss and fight and argue, well, I don't think there's anything wrong with gay marriage. Well, you can think that all day long, but the Bible says differently. It's considered... Hear this now, you might want to cover your ears, I don't know, but it's considered fornication in God's eyes because it's outside of the biblical marriage covenant. And so whether that's homosexual, whether that's lesbian, whether that's whatever letters, I mean, whatever you want to put to that, and I don't know them all, so I can't say them all, but anything outside of that marriage covenant between that man and that woman that have come together under God in union, anything that's then outside of that, that it's considered fornication in God's eyes. And it will be judged. And we can't change that. Even if we want to. That's not changeable. God does not change. His word does not change. And this is not just a come lately doctrine. This is what the word teaches from cover to cover. Amen. I mean, it was from the beginning, and it lasts all the way to the end. God talks about the union between a man and a woman in Genesis, and he talks about marriage now in heaven with Christ in Revelation. It's from cover to cover. God has a specific plan and a specific purpose. So all we are allowed to do in Christ, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, is affirm his word. I don't have to get into the arguments with everybody, because here's the thing. We'll get real strong about homosexual or lesbian or those type of things, but we'll be easy on heterosexual sex outside of marriage. And it's just as wrong, and it's just as sinful, and it's just as judged by God. Amen. So the debate is a false debate. It's not a debate about what we think or what culture allows. It's a debate about what God has declared. And this is what God said. And so now that that is said, we line our lives that are now in Christ up with what God has said. And if we do that, we find God's blessings. If we break that, we find God's judgment. Amen. All the other debates, Believe me. Let me. And I'm saying this not out of anger. I'm not saying this because I want to tell you something. I'll just be very transparent with you tonight. You sit and talk with people that are struggling. You sit and talk with people that are struggling with homosexuality and struggling with sexual perversion and struggling with sexual desires and addiction and all these type of things. It'd break your heart if you have a heart. Because those are not easy issues. And these are people we're talking about. They're not any less people than anyone else. They're people, and they are to be honored, and they are to be respected, and they are people that we will stand before God as to how we treated them. Okay? So it's not about trying to be so mean and mean-spirited. It's simply about this is what God's word has declared. And God has a desire for you. And it doesn't mean it's easy. Do you know walking with Christ is not easy? Do you know some parts of walking in Christ are easier for you than others? Have you discovered that? There are some things in my life that I have no temptation with. You're probably the same way. There are other things in my life that you may not be tempted by at all, but I have strong temptation with those. But just because my temptation and my desire is strong, I can't change God's word. I have to make the choice to live in Christ and to walk in His word. Amen? We're going to have to stop right here. My time's out. We got a whole lot more of a chapter to go. We need to hear this because we get caught up in the culture and we get caught up in debates and we get caught up. And because we love people, because we are people of love, sometimes we want so bad out of love for people to walk with them on their journey that we don't want to point them to what the word says. Because we don't want to hurt them, or we don't want to be a cause of more pain, or we feel like we don't want to press them down. But I want to tell you, if you will walk in love, in brotherly love, if your standard is love, and your process is service, your giving of yourself, and you're speaking in love, you can tackle hard issues with people and still be respectful and still love them. And when you are finished, they can still know you love them even though you may disagree and even though the word has challenged them. I've dealt with many over my ministry that have understood. We've had discussions. They've struggled with things, and I've taken them to the word and pointed them to the word. And they knew that I disagreed with the life they were living and what they were doing. But they also knew I loved them. Amen? Isn't that what we're supposed to be? That's what Jesus was. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why I am not. We tackle some hard issues in our culture today. And our young generation, our younger generations, they are being raised up in a hard time. They are being bombasted. They are bombarded. That's the word. They're being bombarded. I was going to lambasted. That was the other word. I better get my words right. Could get in trouble that way. Emily's pastor in Tulsa has a YouTube video of him messing some words up, and I don't want to be there. But they are bombarded on every side with hard issues. But here's what's even worse. Their church oftentimes is not trying to listen to them, not trying to help, not trying to point them to truth. The church is just looking for a fight. And if all we're doing is looking for a fight, we're running people straight to the world. Come on now. That's real. I'm not looking for a fight. Jesus didn't look for fights. No, I take that back. He did. But you know who He looked for fights with? The religious people that were always looking for fights. Right? He said, you want to fight someone? Come here, stand up for a second. And she knew, you see, she's going to start moving to the back, some of y'all. But if Taylor's hurting and she's struggling with something, and the religious people, and oftentimes they're ready to fight with her, and they're telling her, you need this, and they're in her face, and they're hollering. This is what Jesus would do. And when he walked on this earth, he'd step in front of her, and he'd tell them, you want to fight? We'll fight. You that are without sin, you cast the first stone at her. Right? That's what he said. And he called them, you whitewashed sepulchers. You full of dead men bones. He might even pull out his whip every now and then. That's what we need to be. We've got a culture of people that are hurting, and they don't need a church itching to fight. I turn on TV, and you see the debates, and they always have the wrong people on there. Does anyone else feel that way? When it's a religious thing going, they're debating something, and they have a Christian on there, does anyone else ever cringe? You know, like when they do those 2020 segments, or I don't even know if they have 2020 now. The segments that they'll have, and they'll have someone from the world that believes this or that, and then and then they've got the pastor. And I always cringe, because I don't know where they drag these people up from. Because it seems like they always had the wrong one, right? And maybe I would sound the same way if I was there. I don't know. Maybe they're just nervous. I don't know. But it just seems like they're itching for a fight, or they're just itching to stuff their foot in their mouth and say something as ludicrous as they can say to make us all look foolish as possible, rather than just speaking the truth. Not taking the bait. Loving people. And walking with Christ. See, I don't have to take the bait on all of the debates going on. All I have to do is believe that scripture. Because anything outside of that scripture is all in the same boat. Amen? Stand your feet with me. I'm going to stop there. Our standard is love. Our process, the way we show love, is service. Our stand, our stance, our foundation, our stone that we are braced upon is truth. Amen. Not facts. Because if y'all notice, facts change. Anybody ever notice that? What we once thought were facts, they can change. They're no longer facts. The truth remains. His word is truth. So we need to live because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we can begin this process, we can live lives that lift him up in any culture. Our culture really is no different than the culture that the early church lived in. It was a wicked culture. I mean, it was vile. Rome? You kidding me? Things that they allowed? Treatment of women and children? It was a culture of debauchery. But the church could thrive. And love people and hold to the truth and serve in a way that lifted Christ up. And if they could, we can. Yeah. Let's pray.